Track 5, Trap of Therapist Arrogance. In the last track, we discussed how Josie, a 21-year-old pregnant woman, was resistant to accepting the dangers of her situation after she heard the basic domestic violence information. This, of course, as you know, may not be unusual for a client who has recently been battered. However, the point of this track is not to deal with Josie's resistance, but to provide 3 steps that you may use when dealing with your own mistake of arrogance. Have you found, like I, that it's hard to avoid the mistake of arrogance when dealing with a client like Josie? There are 3 main traps of arrogance that I find I must work to avoid when treating battered clients. I guess we could almost call these burnout traps. The first trap of arrogance or burnout I try to avoid is imposing my own reality and values upon my client. As you know, victims of battering live in a cultural script that dictates how they are supposed to extract themselves from abusive relationships. Do you have this problem of unwittingly imposing your values on a client by encouraging him or her to stay away from their partner, obtain a job, and secure housing, as discussed in the previous track? Remember Josie from the previous track? Here is a mistake I made by subconsciously believing leaving was the best course of action for Josie. I made the mistake of paying little attention to how Josie defined her reality. What were Josie's values? What did Josie want for herself and for her unborn child? In retrospect, Josie provided clues about her reality throughout the course of our interview. Think of a battered client you are currently treating. Is she like Josie in that she wants the violence to end, but not the relationship with her partner to end? Do you think that your own mistake of arrogance may have caused you to ignore whether your Josie may have benefited by discovering ways that couples can settle conflicts without resorting to physical violence? Moreover, in retrospect, I do not believe that Josie ever viewed herself as a battered woman. Yet, this is how I was treating her. I believe that Josie was in the pre-contemplative stage of change. By this I mean, she was likely in denial and discounted the severity of her abuse in an effort to believe the good side of Paul. Do you agree that by not considering Josie's construct of reality and stage of change, I had devised a contract with Josie that was actually harmful? The second trap of arrogance I find is assuming the dominant role. In my session with Josie, I found that I had begun to take the dominant role of telling Josie to do things, whether she liked it or not. For example, I suggested that Josie move away from Paul, but she had never lived alone nor had substantial employment to support herself. I also assumed a dominant role with Josie by not allowing her to have a voice in her goals. In retrospect, I could have asked Josie what steps she felt she might take to relieve herself from Paul's abuse. Having done this would have given Josie a voice in shaping her own goals and objectives. In addition to the traps of imposing my own values and assuming the dominant role, I feel it is also important to avoid falling into the third trap of arrogance, disempowering a battered client. As you know, an important word in dealing with battered women is empowerment. However, I felt my work with Josie was actually disempowering her, replicating her abusive relationship with Paul. In my sessions with Josie, I found myself disempowering Josie in 2 main ways. See what you think. The first way I disempowered Josie, there was an inequity between myself and Josie. Josie was vulnerable, and it was unlikely she would ever challenge the contract I had created. This brings us to the paradoxical box. As you know, by wanting to facilitate empowerment, a therapist may at the same time devise goals and objectives that may possibly disagree with the battered woman's feelings of comfort. I often remind myself to be aware that objectives will have to be modified based on a client's stage of change. Realizing Josie's vulnerability would have helped in my sessions with Josie. Number 2, In addition to creating inequity between Josie and myself, I felt I had also disempowered Josie by discounting her feelings about Paul. As you know, men who batter often discount their partner's feelings by saying women are crazy or stupid for feeling a certain way or for expressing a certain opinion. While I never described Josie as stupid or crazy, my behavior did convey a negative attitude about her life, behaviors, and attitudes. I did not encourage her to talk about Paul's good side, but instead I focused on the escalation of his violence. Do you agree that by not encouraging Josie to talk about the good things, to a certain extent, I failed to show Josie the maximum of compassion? Rather than imposing my values and walking along the thin line of arrogance, I feel the better approach for me to have taken with Josie would have been to devise a safety plan and encourage her to tell her story. The average battered woman leaves 7 or 8 times before permanently leaving a relationship. In successive sessions, by creating a safe plan, Josie was later able to construct a new definition of reality in 3 ways. Number 1, Josie got the message that her life was worth something. Number 2, regarding constructing a new definition of reality, hearing Josie's story gave me an idea of what was important in Josie's life. And number 3, regarding constructing a new definition of reality, Josie's telling of her story allowed Josie to look at her life and her potential barriers towards change. In this track, I have discussed 3 traps of arrogance to avoid when working with victims of domestic violence. To review, these traps are imposing my own reality and values, assuming the dominant role, and disempowerment. Do you struggle to avoid these traps of arrogance when working with a battered client? If this struggle could be at a subconscious level, would bringing it to your conscious awareness decrease burnout for you? In the next track, we will discuss law enforcement issues regarding domestic violence that may facilitate therapist stress and burnout. We will look at 2 landmark cases regarding battered women's rights for protection. Question 5. What is the paradoxical box?